Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, The Low Post. It's the number one NBA podcast for a reason. Top executives, coaches, players, and the best analysis in the game. Be sure to check it out. You can follow The Low Post as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcasts. A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening. Wherever you get your podcast, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest join us, now coming to us live from Yahoo Sports. Vinny Goodwill, what's going on, man?
Hey, I was glad. I'm just glad to be back, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the party, and we got play-in madness going on. Like, where are you on the play-in tournament? We haven't actually talked about how you feel about this.
Oh, I love it. Like, even before we got to the point of the play-in where you started to see LaMelo and Russ and maybe LeBron and Steph, I just like the idea of the regular season mattering. And the thing that people need to get, this was not about the playoffs. This was about tanking. Like, they wanted to do this so you could have a couple more teams on each side of the conference, not play out the string for the last, you know, what, month of the season, where if you're 9-10 and 11-12, you got something to play for. Like, you ain't going to stop Detroit from doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? You're not right. Going to stop Houston or Minnesota from doing what they're doing. But to make the last month of the regular season meaningful, and we've had some monster matchups on this back end, largely because, you know, the league could schedule its second half of the season knowing what the first half looked like. Like, I'm all for it. Like, I'm very curious to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, dude, I thought that it was a contrivance when they came up with it. And I was just kind of like, okay, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Then I started seeing how this thing was going to apply, and I'm in on it, right? So, like, we had the Knicks and the Lakers play on Tuesday night. So the Knicks beat the Clippers on Sunday, feeling good about life. Come out there, LeBron's not playing. Alex Caruso winds up getting hurt, doesn't play the second half, and they mess around and lose that game in overtime, right? Now the Knicks are kind of scrambling to figure out what their situation is going to be. And, you know, I'm kind of team Knicks right now, like, just because I want to, you know, I live here now, man. I want the locals to be happy. How Knicks-y would it be if they messed around and then got it, like, thrown into the play-in tournament? I don't think it's going to happen, because it would require them dropping, what, 3 games of the last three?
Yep.
But still, how wild would that be?
It would be so funny, wouldn't it? Like, if you want to troll Knicks fans who have been, you know, strutting like a peacock, you know, for the past month or so, ever since they got on that 9-game winning streak, I have seen more Knicks fans on Twitter than I have ever seen in my life. Like, we ain't talking about the Spike Lees and the Stephen A. Smiths. You know, we know about them. We talking about random fan that's got Steph Curry as their avatar all of a sudden saying Knicks tape. You know what I mean? Like, those people, where y'all been?
Well, see, the thing about Knicks fans, and it's wild that there would be Knicks fans like those, because one thing we know about Knicks fans, man, they ride or die in a way that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, generally speaking. Like, they seem to be on it. Like, if you are a Knicks fan that's popping up out the ground at this moment, I just can't respect you, because I see these other cats over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know me, man. I quit that narcotic over there in the NFL. You know, and every time the Falcons do something and they get good or look like they good, people are like, oh, man, you coming back around. I'm like, dog, I stand for something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I said I was out. I'm not going to come back just because it's good, because I know that the good is not going to be good for long. But I'm not going to come back just because it's good right now. You can't do that if you're going to be a Knicks fan in particular, when it's all these body folks around here.
Well, let's be honest. We both quit our football narcotic.
Yeah, you was with the Lions.
July 27th, 1999. Come back. And here's the worst part, if you're here. There's nothing going on in Detroit, right? Pistons are bad. I think they'll wind up being good because I feel like they got confidence there. Michigan is bad football-wise. Like, I don't think that's turning around anytime soon. Like, the Lions are this eternal hope. So now that they like, oh, we traded Stafford, we got a draft right, we got a coach that's biting off ankles and kneecaps and everything else. Like, we got it. Like, it don't take much, right? Knicks fans, I wonder why you stayed. Like, not to go to the Nets, right? Not even to go there, because I don't think Knicks fans has the heart to go to the Nets.
No.
But go somewhere else. You know what I mean? Anywhere else. But they stay with this loyalty that they don't have towards anything else.
By the way, for a franchise that has never really been that good, mm-hmm. right? Like, when people talk, like, I think I saw it was Mark Jackson on one of the broadcasts. He was talking about, you know, the great historic franchise of the Knicks. No. The Knicks are historic, like kind of like the Arizona Cardinals are historic. Like, they've been out there for a long time. But aside from that little period in the 70s and like the 90s to the early 2000s, maybe, they ain't been nothing to celebrate about being no Knicks fan. Like, when we talk about the back in the day, the Bill Russell and the Will Chamberlain, you know, like those days or whatever, we don't talk about the Knicks. Like, there was only, what, 8 teams in the league. And the Knicks wasn't even good enough to, like, maybe every now and then pop up and you get into one of these series that somebody go wind up talking about. Like, they do not have a track record of success, but them folks love them, right? And it's because New York, I say in particular, New York's relationship with basketball
yes,
is wild different. Because I think the thing that people often lose sight of is basketball has long been the game of Black people and immigrants. Like, when you look at, even before they started, like, really letting Black people play basketball, go check out what them names are for them folks that, like, you know, that was coming out of New York. And, you know, look at the history of it and who the people are that are on the team. It speaks to a very particular set of people. And in basketball, that was really, I guess, hockey until the Islanders came around. But basketball, that was the only sport where there was a New York team.
Oh,
you know, and I guess when you get to the 60s, you get the Jets, you know, and that all comes around. But as all that goes, you know, for football, but as all that goes through, it's the New York Knicks. There wasn't a team for like Brooklyn and Queens and a team for Manhattan. No, everybody had the Knicks.
Maybe that's what it is. This undying sort of loyalty that's almost admirable. But I don't know if you saw this tweet from LeBron maybe 2 weeks ago. Did you see the tweet where LeBron said when the Knicks are good, it makes the NBA better?
Yes.
My thing is, how would you know? Like, what evidence do we actually have of the Knicks being better? Now, I say that with the caveat that both Knicks finals appearances that we've seen came the year after Michael Jordan had record finals appearances the year before, right? 1999.
Yeah, that's true.
1999 came out the 98, record ratings, right?
Right.
94 came out the 93. Really good ratings, damn good performances. Those ratings were in the toilet. 94, 99. The only people who watched were in New York. Nobody else cared. So when you tell me that the league is better when the Knicks are good, you just mean to say the league is better when we got a team in the East. In that Eastern time zone that people actually care about being good so we can have some in that early game window.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, right, 94 is just a weird one all around for a number of reasons. I don't really hold down against them. 99 was not just a lockout season, but they were going up against ratings kryptonite, the San Antonio Spurs. Like, that, the first time that LeBron James got to the NBA Finals in 2007,
yep.
They played against the Spurs, and the ratings were terrible. Like, the Spurs, in that run, nobody wanted to watch the Spurs. Like, in fact, I think the greatest testament to what a big deal LeBron had become is 2013 and 2014, where he got people to watch the Spurs play in the finals.
They're a great foil. But if they're like the marquee or if they're like the establishment there, I don't know who watches them.
Pistons Spurs, awful ratings. Nets Spurs, my God. Awful ratings.
Do you think 2004... Pistons, Lakers, very good ratings. 2005, not so much.
That part I did not realize.
2004 was like probably out of that decade, probably the highest rated finals.
That sounds about right.
Probably just because you had the Laker drama, and then you had like a pseudo historic team that had a familiar sort of storyline that you could latch to. Right. You know what I mean?
And it was a surprise. Like after it got going and you realize, wait a minute, the Lakers gonna lose. Like what just happened? But then I feel like 06 with the Mavericks and the Heat had decent ratings. Like people watch that.
There's something about San Antonio. Cause I feel like if it were Houston in the NBA finals, it would be a different story. Dallas in the NBA finals, different story. San Antonio, that's like the stepchild.
Yeah.
And if there is any, and I come from David Stern's NBA like you do, and I lovingly call him the emperor. If there's any proof to the reason why the lottery was never rigged, Tim Duncan, maybe the greatest college player that we've ever seen, or the greatest college player slash pro prospect
right.
that we've seen in the past, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
Went to the San Antonio Spurs.
David Robinson went to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes. So anybody who says the league, the lottery is rigged, you tell me how that didn't go to Boston, who had two lottery picks.
And they would have.
They wound up with Chauncey Billups and Ron Mercer.
And they would have loved Tim Duncan's not talking ass. Like they would have been so glad to have the stoic one.
They would have, you know what? That would have been the see, we're not as racist as you think. We love this black guy.
Don't say a word. Don't say nothing. Don't say another word. Like, hey, you got to say this, though. Like, that rep of Boston, they've managed to shake it, right? I mean, Kemba Walker was willing to sign there. Horford is a different case because he's Dominican, and being Dominican in Boston is different because they out there. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a culture that he could immerse himself in that, honestly, it wouldn't be that easy for him to find anywhere else. Like, I assure you that there was a lot more Dominican living for him to do in Boston than there was in Atlanta, and damn sure more than there was in Oklahoma City, you know, where he wound up over there. But now, like, they got people who are willing to come play there now. Like, Kemba Walker, I bet they wish they hadn't done that. But Kemba Walker went over there. Kyrie was willing to go there, and, you know, then stuff happened, and, you know, we went and we rolled. I'm looking at my production document, by the way, for Highly Questionable. We figured out what the topics are going to be, and one potential topic today is, should Boston blow the whole thing up? It's an interesting question, because this is how I feel. You tell me what you think. If they want to blow the whole thing up, you got to fire Danny Ainge, right? Like if you blow this up, you are acknowledging that this long plan that he had, and they had all those picks and they were going to be set, he failed. And I think it looks pretty clear right now that he failed.
I mean, put it like this. How do you go from being the team of the future to being 2 years away? Like, in the span of, like, what, 2 years? Yeah. Like, where did it go? And you're right, because if you're looking at the future of the Eastern Conference and you're saying Giannis is going to stay in Milwaukee, and you're going to say that Brooklyn thing is at least going to be solvent for a couple of years. Like, I don't think you can plan for anything beyond 2 years in the NBA, right? And Philadelphia has Joel Embiid. And you're saying, our best player, whoever that is, has to compete with those best players. And our best player is Jason Tatum. He's not that super athlete, although I think he is as skilled as those guys. And you can say he's kind of exceeded the expectations. But to say that your best player is going to be better than them for you to get to the finals, let alone what's happening in New York, let alone Miami, yeah, you kind of have to do it. And the only reason I think they're not going to fire Brad Stevens is because Danny Ainge knows that he's next on that Summer Jam screen.
And I don't think what's gone wrong with them, if you fire Brad Stevens, it's not about that. Yeah, it's because it's time for a different coach, right? Exactly. Like, it's not a matter of whether or not he is a bad coach. It is, like, do we need a different coach? That, like, to me, that's the only reason that you fire Stevens, because I look at what's going on with them. Granted, they've had a bunch of injuries this year. Like, I think they're four guys, right? Like, Walker, Tatum, Brown, and Smart have played something like 270 minutes together this season. Like, it's been bad for them in this regard. Now, this is my thing about Tatum. No easy shots, man. No easy shots. When your go-to shot, when you need a bucket, is a step back? What?
Well, not just that. But, and here is my problem with Tatum is pseudo my problem with the Clippers. When stuff gets bad, you don't find a way to force the action and get to the line. you don't make the defenses uncomfortable enough to where they say, you know, we got to foul him to stop him. And then you get momentum from going to the free throw line 3, 4, 5 times in a row. And you get your, and you get those sort of, you can stem the 10-0 run. That 10-0 run becomes 10-4. You know what I mean? That 12-0 run becomes 12-6. And all of a sudden you're not staggering anymore. The thing about Brad Stevens is, not even be funny, because I think Brad Stevens is a good coach, but A, you can make the case to fire half the coaches in the league at any time. You can make the case. Not even a great case, but the case.
If you want to, right? If a general manager wants to start feeding it to a columnist, we thinking about pushing the coach out. I always say you can do it with 75% of the league if you want to.
And dudes get fired every day. And clearly, if you're being offered $70 million from the University of Indiana, which I firmly believe was the case, you will get another job. And I just think for me, I think the shelf life for a coach in general is like 5 years. Like, I'm not saying push the guy out, because there's going to be certain cases like Spo and like Brad Stevens. I think this is like year 7 for him, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's quite a long time. But I'm not saying that he deserves to get fired, because they did make it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The problem is the roster construction. Like, he went from having all of those draft picks to saying, this is, you know, assets. I can trade these assets for this guy, that guy, and not making a single damn move.
Right. Now, by the way, this is year 8 for Steve.
Oh, year 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he came in what, 2013?
13, yeah. This is year 8 for Stevens. And the Celtics had all those assets. Never got the star. Like, Jason Tatum is not that star. And what I always thought when they were putting this team together was, you're trying to play for now and play for later. Like, that's a mistake that the Warriors got themselves in. Well, the Warriors' mistake was they were trying to play for now and play for the future and play for the past all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now, and as you see it, like, it's wild what's going on with them this year. We'll get to that a little bit later and figure out how people will harvest our quotes to try to make us seem like we hating when we not. But you can't do all that at one time. And so that whole thing with the Celtics, when they had those picks and they had like Isaiah Thomas and they were going to the conference finals, I was like, nah, y'all need to be playing for right now. Like, if you've got a team that's good enough to get to the Eastern Finals, and as much as it was like, well, LeBron, them Cleveland teams weren't unbeatable.
Right.
You know, right. Like, even when LeBron was with the Heat, that was what was wild. There was more competition for the Heat than there was for those Cavs. You know, the Pacers taking them to 7.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics taking them to 7. There was nobody that was in a position to do that later. And so I'm like, yo, go make it happen, right? Like, you got these picks. And when they did, they went and got Kyrie Irving, and they sold at the right time on that one Nets pick because it turned into Colin Sexton. Like, it wasn't what they, you know, what they thought it was going to ultimately be. But Ainge has blown this. I just don't see any way to look at this otherwise, that with everything they had, the heist that he pulled off to move on from the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce era. And here we are right now, sitting where they are. And I guess the Kemba Walker thing is just bad luck, right? Like, you got to do with bad knees.
Or you completely mishandled the Kyrie Irving situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you looked at, put it like this, as good as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are, they will not be able to maximize who they can be as long as they're playing together. It's just not possible in this league to be growing at the same rate at the same time. Like, there has to be some pecking order. And Jason Tatum can look at Jaylen Brown and say, I'm better than you. But Jaylen Brown can look at Jason Tatum and say, I'm better than you. Like, unless two dudes wind up going to blows, which ain't nobody saying that, who's going to be the guy to actively take the step back when player development is all about, hey, let me go get mine and figure out how good I can be. So even keeping not both, but just one of those dudes. Imagine what you could have gotten for Jaylen Brown. Remember, Jaylen Brown came to the league a year before Jason Tatum did. He spent a year in college, but I think he was a little bit on the younger side even when he enrolled anyway. And he didn't have a great rookie year. I think Tatum had a better rookie year. But imagine what you could have gotten on the potential side if you say, okay, we're going to hitch our wagon to Jason Tatum. Imagine what you could have gotten for Jaylen Brown if you package Jaylen Brown with one of them picks.
Could have got a star.
You could have, I could have got Kawhi Leonard. I could have got Anthony Davis. You didn't have to get one of them. You could have got anybody. I ain't saying go out and get Paul George, but I'm saying you could have gotten something, and Danny Ainge just held onto the chips and literally watched as Milwaukee got better, as Philly got better, as Brooklyn rebounded, and he looked at the Eastern Conference and said, I still got the best hand. How?
They all went and got that dude, whoever yep. that dude was, and they got him in different ways, right? Like Milwaukee, I mean, they got Giannis with the 15th pick, and then it went from there, right? But right. they got that dude. Philadelphia has Embiid. Simmons is not that dude. Embiid is that dude, right? And that's not a knock on Simmons, but
it's a knock. No, it's a knock. It's a knock. No, if you have the skill set of a LeBron, of a Giannis, and you're not that guy, that's a knock on you and your lack of skill. Like we talk yeah. about Jalen and Jason developing their skills. Ben Simmons is the exact same dude that he yeah. was when he came in the league.
And the Nets went and got that dude. And it's not Kyrie. Kyrie is not that dude, right? Kevin Durant, that dude. And then they went and got another that dude. Yes. Danny Ainge always trying to fleece somebody in one of these trades so you never wind up with the move. But I looked at Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown's a really good player. And I trade him in a heartbeat. Like when the Lakers are trying to figure out whether or not to trade Anthony Davis, and people are like, well, do you want to trade this guy? All of them. All of them. There's not a single one of these guys that we just can't get rid of, like that we just have to keep. No matter what. And that was the thing with Jaylen Brown. Like if Jaylen Brown was one of those guys like Brandon Ingram or somebody that was on the Lakers at that time, they're like, yo, we can, you know, do something with this to go get Anthony Davis. Okay, well, you're not that dude. So we're going to trade you. Like he would have been one of those people. Like Brandon Ingram is the best example of that, where I think that Brown is probably a better player than Ingram, but I think they're of similar tier, similar mm-hmm. age, all of that mm-hmm. stuff, right? Mm-hmm. No, that's that dude. That's the dude we trade because he's not going to be that dude. And so the Celtics got all the way here and don't have that dude.
Now, my thing is, when James Harden started acting a fool in Houston, came in overweight, doing all the partying in Vegas, and everybody knew he was going to Brooklyn. If you're Boston and you wind up seeing what that trade wound up being, why are you not on the phone with Houston saying, I'll give you everything I got? Why? Because I can't afford to face this dude with that dude right. on the same team. I'll give you everything. I'll give you the draft picks I got, the draft picks I don't got. I'll go fleece another team to find extra draft picks to go get that dude. Mind you, I don't think that James Harden is that dude unless he's playing next to Kevin Durant. I think James Harden might not be able to be your best player, but I don't want to play against him. Mm-mm. He gives me a better chance.
And he'll adapt. Like, that was the thing that I don't think we quite knew or expected was that, because I think right now he's probably a better player than Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant offensively is just, there's just nothing you can do about it, man. But I just know Kevin Durant ain't guarding nobody at this point.
But he don't have to.
I know, and that's the thing about them. You and I have talked about this for a while. I am out on the Nets in the East, and I could ultimately prove to be wrong about, you know, being out on them, but when I watched them play those games against Milwaukee, and yes, I know, James Harden was not playing in those games. I talked about it here. I talked about some other places. Me and you talked about this. Yeah, Giannis and his boys have gotten bounced out of the playoffs these last couple years sooner than people expected. But don't forget, in 2019, they were beating the brakes off Toronto until they weren't, right? Yep. Adjustment came. Nick Nurse is an adjuster. Like, I don't know how great a coach he is per se, but he is, because I mean, the series before, he was out here getting cooked by Brett Brown, right? Like, but when it was time to make the adjustment, he made the adjustment. And Budenholzer is not an adjuster, right? Like, he's on the Greg Popovich. Like, Dean Smith was the same way about this. Mm-hmm. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. Don't forget, the 2012 season, the Spurs had won literally
20 straight games.
20 games in a row. And then Scott Brooks
made one adjustment.
And it was it.
One adjustment. He created, I'm going to use my two best players in a pin down at the top. And they can do nothing about it.
Yes.
Oh, let's put the ball in James Harden's hands in the fourth quarter and make him the closer. Light bulb.
Right.
Light bulb. The simplest GED shit in the world. Excuse my French.
Oh, you
know, but like, it don't take much.
Right.
And styles make fights. And you know what made me think this? I don't know if you saw this on maybe Saturday night. KD was guarding Jokic on the block in the fourth mm-hmm. quarter. And I'm like, on one hand, I don't want KD on the perimeter dancing against dudes in the playoffs. But do you want KD coming off an Achilles, using all that from his base in the fourth quarter when you need KD to be KD, where those jumpers started coming up short.
Right.
Not in that game, but just, you know, right, in general. Like, KD's your best post defender now.
Yep. See, that's like, can he guard Giannis? I have no reason to believe that he can guard Giannis. And see, that's the thing. To stop Giannis, it take a village. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a, that is a scheme thing.
It take big men.
Right, right. It, but
they got tall men.
Right. They got tall men, but let me tell you what else they ain't got. They ain't got no scheme. Like, what in the world would lead you to believe that the Nets gonna be able to cook up a scheme on defense?
You mean,
right,
to tell me that Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni are not the great defensive minds of this generation?
Dog, that's all I'm saying. Like, in order to do this against Milwaukee, they're gonna need a scheme. And I think it's going to take the playoffs to remind people. But they went and got Jrue Holiday. And that is a bigger and more important addition than I think that a lot of people realize. And it really starts mattering when you get to the postseason, because that dude can guard. Like, when that dude is on Kyrie, now we're talking about something different, okay? So they actually have, quiet as is kept, not three guys that can shut down the Nets, three guys, but they got three guys that can guard the Nets, three guys. Giannis is probably one of the 5 to 7 best defensive players in the league, you know, defensive player of the year last year. Chris Middleton got the offense together, but he's largely here to play defense. Like, that's how he managed to stick around in the league. Jrue Holiday is here to lock people up, all right? So they got three guys that you can trust to capably guard those three dudes from the Nets one-on-one. And then you got, like, Brook Lopez to stay in the lane. And, you know, who the amazing Brook Lopez, who becomes a different player every season, right? Every year, he just turns into a different dude. It's the wildest thing in the world. If he could be all those guys at one time, he'd be damn near Wilt Chamberlain.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't see how, if the Nets have to play them, I don't think they win. And I also think that coach part, that matters. And this ain't a knock to Steve Nash, but this is the first time you've done this.
Not just that, but we're saying that for the Nets to do this thing, you have to have your three best players at their absolute apex offensively. The three best, you got the two best non-system get a bucket players, maybe that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, guys that you can say, you know what? Whatever our scheme and our system is, it don't matter. Go ahead and get us a bucket. That's Kyrie and KD. All right, cool. And then you got a guy who can sort of create a system and James Harden create, get guys involved in the ways that KD and Kyrie want. But those guys have to be at maximum. All you need to be, if you're Milwaukee, is say, let's slow these guys down to 85. Not 85 points, 85% of who they are. Yeah. That just means let's not get in foul trouble. Let's make the shots tough for them. Let's make things a little uncomfortable for them, because they ain't been in this situation all year. We've been dealing with this nonsense in the playoffs for the past 2+ years. If you are Milwaukee and you don't get it done this year,
oh, you got to fire the coach.
You got to fire the coach, because this is the year, with everything that's going on, this is Milwaukee's window.
Yeah.
This is the year, like, we're not talking about them much, you know, rightfully so, for good reason. But if you're Milwaukee, you got to be looking at the landscape and saying, why can't we get to the finals? Why can't we win it all?
There's nothing to stop them, right? Because I think the East Finals, I think, are going to be Philly and Milwaukee.
So you mean to tell me you're going to predict here on Al Gore's internet that if the Miami Heat are the fourth seed and they get out of the first round, and you put Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat against the Philadelphia 76ers in round two? Is that what you were telling me, Bomani?
I had thought about that. I had not. And the big thing is, Bam is not as big as Embiid, but he can guard Embiid. Like this. I think this season is probably the best chance for Philly to win a championship as any season. Here's why.
And I ain't betting on them for nothing.
Here's why. And I'm curious what you think about this. We haven't talked about this. Y'all need to know. We have about 4 hours of NBA talk on the phone during the week, right? So it ain't that easy for me to come out here and break out like what you ain't heard before. What we got from Embiid this year is what I feel like we saw from Shaq several times in his career, which is the new coach bump. Mm. Right? That first year Phil Jackson was there.
Mm-hmm. We saw the best of Shaq.
Yeah, we saw the best that maybe we've ever seen of a big man, right? Yes. But we saw the best of Shaq. That first year in Miami, we saw the best of what was left of Shaq. I believe it was the first full year in Phoenix.
Yep.
That we then started seeing the best of what Shaq was. And then Embiid, for this time, we saw him be the guy that we thought that he could be. Is he going to be that same guy next year? I don't have a great answer for that. Because what the playoffs for me are going to come down to about Embiid, especially with the way that the Sixers are largely constructed.
Mm-hmm.
He got to make moves as soon as he gets the ball in the post. Because what we would see in those previous years was he's being guarded by Aaron Baines, right? And he gets the ball and he holds it and he dribbles three times. And Aaron Baines is like, I am just as strong as you. And he can't hit him with the shoulder and move him off, right? Is he going to be that sudden guy in the playoffs? Because that's what it's got to be. Get the ball to him, quick move. If you can't get the quick move, throw it back out, repost, quick move, you know, get the ball back, quick move, and then go from there, right? Is he going to be that guy next year without I need to prove myself to my coach? I don't know. Like, that's why I think that this year is probably the best chance that they have. But the question is, once these playoffs come, and people are going to be able to swarm Embiid, and they're going to be able to put their hands on him in ways that they weren't able to do it. What's next? Are we leaning on Tobias Harris? And what is Ben Simmons going to provide you? Like, these are the questions that I have about them.
Well, my thing is, A, I'm very curious to see how this playoff is going to be officiated compared to how the regular season has been. More people, you know, more people in the stands, you know, states are opening up. As we go along, you're going to have maybe 50% capacity. And clearly by some of these shooting numbers, this looks to be a thing where crowds affect guys when they're playing basketball. Big surprise, right? Secondly, if Ben Simmons is can't shoot, won't shoot, and there's no indication that anything has changed, Doc is going to have to unleash a guy like Tobias Harris. Because while you got all those other shooters, those ain't guys that can get your shot.
Right.
And while Joel Embiid is two moves and two counters, and he's got them from every point on the floor. He can catch it at the three-point line and do something. He can catch it at the elbow and do something. He can catch it on the block and do something. If you're playing against Miami, and Miami, he knows, oh, look, I ain't got the bodies to do this. I got the scheme to do this. I got the dogs to do this. Do y'all have the dogs to do this? And it could just be a situation where it was last year, where it's a matchup thing. Well, Miami caught the matchups at the right time with the playoff coach, with Jimmy Butler. You think Jimmy Butler will want nothing more aside from maybe Brett Brown being the coach than to put out that team with those dudes on it.
Yeah. And the other thing too is the Sixers lock you up because they have possibly the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah.
And Embiid. And Embiid and Gobert, nobody affects team defense more than those two dudes do. Gobert's his own case. We'll get to that. But, you know, nobody affects team defense like those two dudes do.
Right.
They don't really score. Like, I do think that the playoffs are going to come and they're going to have trouble getting buckets. And so if they do wind up matched up against Miami, that's going to be a thing. That's going to be a thing.
Or even New York. Because if nothing else, New York is going to play 72 playoff games this year. Like, they are used to this.
Yeah, playing for time.
Yeah, yeah. There's no taking the easy night. There's no, hey guys, this is 3 games in 4 nights. Conserve yourself. That ain't really how he kick it. You know, Tom Thibodeau, do not kick it like that.
We got a game tonight.
Hey, tighten up. Yeah, he got a game tonight.
They try to win every possession, right? Like, he's on the Mike Krzyzewski program. We are here to win every possession. I'm going to play 6 dudes, and we are going to win every possession. But I say this, though, about the East. At least we got a general idea about what's going to happen in the East. I have no clue what's going to happen in the West, because the West is completely upside down. Like, do people realize that it is entirely possible that the two teams to come out of the play-in tournament in the West might be the team with LeBron on it and the team with Steph on it?
Or, or, I'll take it a step further, or the Lakers could play the Clippers in the first round.
Yes.
In the 2-7, in the 3-6, or in the 4-5. That's how this could happen.
We have no clue. There's no telling. Like, I feel like the only thing that we know is that the Jazz and the Suns are going to be 1-2. So, two teams that ain't never done nothing close to this before. The Suns, which is basically a roster with Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, and a bunch of dudes who ain't never been here before. All right?
So, you telling me. And here's a thought that I had randomly. And I know people are not going to want to hear this. But what if LeBron really does come back 80, 90%? And we're seeing this version of this Debo version of Anthony Davis. Are we looking at a 2001 Laker playoff run? Because that defense is monstrous. Yes. Well, nothing else, that defense is damn good.
Well, they need Caruso healthy to play that kind of defense. Because the thing that people don't understand about Caruso, still some people don't get this because y'all just see a white dude. He got to the league. Like, the thing that he did in college was play defense.
Yep.
Like, that was what he provided, and he's athletic, and that's what he's done now. Like, if he's not there, because they basically ain't got no point guards left. Schroeder is on the cootie list. Caruso is hurt right now, had to leave the game. But that's the thing. They can lock people down. And what I think is interesting there, you and I have been talking about Denver, and somebody mentioned it last year when we talked about this. We're like, yo, when will Denver get their other guy? And I was like, no, they got their other guy. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to get there. And with Murray being out, Michael Porter is turning into that guy. Like, we're seeing it. He just needed more room to operate. Has Anthony Davis, in his apprenticeship under LeBron for the last year and change, is this now the next step for him to become that guy? Because I thought the Lakers were done, because I didn't think that what we've seen from Anthony Davis lately was something Anthony Davis had in him. And so now it's there. Is LeBron capable of making the room for Anthony Davis to do that? And if so, you're right. Is this a chance that they could now come through and, like, run through the playoffs? Because those 0-1 Lakers, they were, what, the 4 seed that year, or like the 5 seed?
No. They were a top 3 seed. They were a 3 seed.
They didn't win the division, right? Like, I thought Sacramento won the division that year.
No. They did win the division. Sacramento, they wound up being a 2 seed. I could be wrong, but if I remember correctly, they played Portland in the first round, knocked them out, ran them in 3. And that was a Portland team that took them to 7 the year before and choked. Then right. They played 3 seed Sacramento. Game 4 was in Sacramento, so that meant LA had home court. That's when Kobe gave them the 48-16.
Then
you played the number 1 seed Spurs, a team with the best record, and dismantled them.
It was destruction.
I want to say they beat them by like a total of 60 points in game 3 and 4. I feel like they beat them by like 30 plus each game in LA. Like game 2 in San Antonio might have been close.
You were right. They were the 2 seed. They were the 2 seed. But yeah, no, they went. What they did to San Antonio that year was just nuts, right? Yes. Because remember, like, even though they won 58 games that year, but they were 9 games worse than they were the year before, and they felt vulnerable going in because Shaq played 70-something games. Like, it wasn't like he didn't play that year, but, you know, like, no, something just didn't feel right about that squad until all of a sudden everything felt great, and the best Kobe Bryant that we have ever seen was in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs
ever
in 2001.
I can say, and I remember saying this to a friend of mine because I was a junior in high school. I remember saying this, like, y'all, can this dude be better than Mike? Not like right now, but I was like, if he's 22, 23 doing this right now, if this thing keeps going up and up, we ain't going to see a better basketball player.
Yeah.
And that was the best of Shaq and the best of Kobe at the same time.
Right, because the Kobe of 2000 was not the Kobe of 2001.
No, he wasn't nowhere near as consistent.
Like, it totally then made all the sense of the world. Like, as I look back on it now, why Kobe was like, nah, y'all need to give me the ball more. I don't think you realize what's going on over here. I'm turning into that dude. It's right here. I might be better than that big dude. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, it might be that dude. So the Lakers might give us that this year. Like, that part will be interesting to see, because the rest of the roster, like, this is where you got to give Vogel credit. And I've always thought that Vogel was a pretty good coach. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that he's gotten I wouldn't say a bad rap, but I don't think he got enough of a good rap. Because I remember mm-hmm. that year that he took over for with the Pacers in the middle of the year, and they immediately got better. Like, Jim O'Brien, he's a coach, but he ain't a bad coach. You know what right. I mean? Like, right. Didn't he get the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals one year?
Maybe I think he was the coach when they got to the Eastern in 02, I think.
Yeah. So, like, he was not a bad coach. And then they went and put Vogel in there, and they clearly got better. And he got them there, them game sevens against Miami and the likes. But when you get outside of their top two dudes, they ain't really got nobody else you got to have on your team. Like, their third best player is a dude that you can't play in every playoff series, and Harrell. Like, you can't, there's only so much that, like, different matchups that you could put him out there. Cause see, that might happen, and they might get in here as a 7 seed, right? And what the league gotta want, man, is get the Lakers against Utah, Phoenix, or whatever, and get them up out of here. Like I'm not rooting against these cats, because I know the Phoenix people gonna be lurking out here because they do that. I'm just saying, if the Mountain Time Zone is not good business for the league, right? Like, they would love for the Lakers to come out here and get rid of all these heartwarming stories, like, run them out of here. But the Lakers, who I still think are gonna wind up in this play-in tournament.
Really?
I still think they wind up. They got a tough run, like, to get to the end of this.
Portland, if I remember correctly, Portland has Dallas. Oh, they have Denver, Phoenix, and Utah to finish the season. Now, the only thing that might save them is if Utah starts resting guys, or Phoenix starts resting, and you got the seed locked up. Let's just get everybody in here healthy, and then Portland can continue to run the table. But that 5, 6, 7 could be anybody. And you brought up the Anthony Davis point. This is the Anthony Davis that his talent demands that he be as a player. When we talked about Tim Duncan mixed with Kevin Garnett, this is what we're talking about. That 42, 15, 5, that assertiveness, that aggressiveness, that's the guy that he should be every night, and damn sure in the playoffs. Will LeBron give him that space? He may have to if LeBron is not healthy.
Yeah.
You didn't see any explosion. And I don't know what a non-explosive LeBron looks like as the best player on a team. But a non-explosive LeBron as the second best player on a team that whose third best player is a guy that could be Andre Drummond on a night, that could be KCP on a night, that could be Montrezl Harrell on a night. LeBron, a second best player, has to make it his responsibility that the third best player is somebody that they can use on a night-to-night basis, because you know Frank Vogel's got that defense. This is LeBron's offense.
Yeah.
And LeBron has to basically commandeer this offense to make Anthony Davis his best self and get something out of one of those guys below him. And that's the only way Anthony Davis is going to be able to take that next step, if LeBron actually takes the step back.
Now, let me ask you this about Utah, where it gets to be interesting, because they are dominating the NBA this year.
Yes.
Nobody thinks they can win a championship.
Nobody.
Not a soul thinks they can win a championship. Here's what Nobody. I just looked at that I did not realize, and this is what would kind of worry me about Utah. Do you know what their record at home is this year?
Oh, something crazy.
31-4. And so I think that part of that is the two teams with the best home court advantage in the NBA are the Clippers and the Nuggets. I'm not talking about in terms of record. I'm talking about in terms of circumstances, altitude. Like, they get people in there at that high altitude. If you play a back-to-back somewhere, anywhere, and then you got to go to Utah the next night, you are going to lose.
I mean, you said Nuggets and Jazz. You said Clippers.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry about that. Nuggets and Jazz. Yeah. You are going to lose, right? Like, J.A. used to say the surest bet in sports was the Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back against the Nuggets or the Jazz. Like, they were guaranteed to lose going up there to play in that altitude. If their record is inflated by beating teams at home, that kind of goes away in the playoffs. Like that goes down a bit. And so where I feel good about Utah is with Mitchell and Bogey, they now have two guys who can get their own shots, which they didn't have before, because I felt like all their buckets had to be schemed up. That was my feeling. Yeah, but, right? Like, I think that's where everybody is kind of on them, is like, yeah, but.
Well, my thing is, Donovan Mitchell is going to miss the rest of the regular season because he's hurt. Yeah. And we don't know what he's going to look like. When you're, look, let's just say Golden State is the eighth seed, right? Let's just say that. Golden State makes it in as the eighth seed. Let's say the Lakers are seven. Golden State is eight because they put out either Memphis or San Antonio, right? You don't have time for a Donovan Mitchell bad game.
No.
And the other part is, oh, Rudy Gobert is the guy that our screener is guarding. We're going 1-5 screen roll all the time and giving Steph that daylight because Rudy don't like stepping outside that painted area.
Yeah.
Do you have time to give up a game or two while Donovan Mitchell finds his shot? While Rudy Gobert, while you try to figure out how Rudy Gobert stays on the floor and Steph on the road helps you steal a game? That might be series over in the first week.
Dude, this Steph thing. Like I say, we raised the question coming into this season. And I still think it was a fair question, right? Like, is he the guy that you run the Bel Air Academy offense through? Because he has never really been used in that way. And I did not think that that was the best way to go use him. And I've heard, like, it's wild. People act like we're the only two people to ever say this. Like, I heard Grant Hill make this point once. And I was like, yo, this is something to consider, right? Man, this dude is just like, all you bums, jump on my back and I will carry you as far as I can. And he has done it. And I don't know how long you can expect him to keep doing it because it's such a superhuman thing that he's managed to pull off. But he's just been like, all right, boys, jump on my back. I'm going to just be shooting these from the parking lot and can't nobody guard me and ain't nothing anybody can do about it. Like, they're easy shots for him, but they're still hard shots. Like, I don't have much faith in them winning a playoff series like that just because you got to get some easy shots.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not able to get easy shots, even if they're like the easy for him. Yeah, but they're not easy shots. Like, I think you understand, you know, the difference is that we're talking about. But at the same time, this season has looked like reason to fire Kerr.
Well, if you are Steve Kerr and you know I'm going to need Steph at his best late in the season. Not the whole chasing win statement, because that was dumb.
Yeah.
Like that was patently ridiculous, and I would never defend that. But if you're trying to keep Steph upright late in the season and not run that battery all the way dead for right now, you play it the way that he played it. Because he's starting to play Steph a little bit more
in
those four quarters and bring him in more. Because you look at Steph, and the biggest criticism was, even when the team was really good before Kevin Durant got there, was, man, Steph wears down. Steph, we saw it. We saw the movie. Game 7, 2016. We saw that playoff run. It's not a shot or shade or whatever you want to call it. Steph wore down. He had the injury. He wore down. If you're Steve Kerr, that's in the back of your mind, because now Steph is 5 years older.
That's fair.
And you are playing on a much worse team where your third best player is who? Who's their third best player? I don't know. Yeah.
Who's their second best player? Are we locking in on Draymond?
Because they have a top five defense in the NBA, and that is probably solely because of Draymond Green. If I'm going to say that Ben Simmons is an all NBA type player solely because of what he does on one end of the floor, then I have to give Draymond that same amount of credit, along with freeing up Steph for a lot of these moonshots.
Yeah, he is taking over as distributor. Yeah, you know, I think that's fair.
You know what, but since we're here, I'm going to need you to pull out the Hakeem, the Hakeem impression.
The quote.
Yes, that one. Because we always ask the question about Steph. Can Steph carry a team like James Harden carried a team? And since he's answered it resoundingly, just go ahead and say it.
Yeah. We were wrong. if for people who do not know this quote, Dennis Rodman during the playoffs one year, when he did this interview with Mike Silver, then of Sports Illustrated, this wild interview, right, where he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated wearing leather and he got a parrot on his shoulder and all of this stuff. And he says something in the interview about how all men fantasize about other men. And keep in mind, this is 1995, all right? And so they come ask Akeem Olajuwon about it. Akeem is in the locker room, and Akeem is like, sometimes when you you think something, you believe that everyone else thinks the same thing. He is wrong. He is wrong. Olajuwon was like, man, if you don't get him over here with that, like, that man was not at a place in his journey through life where he could view that as even a, like, a random hypothetical to consider. He is wrong. He was wrong.
Not me. Not here.
Right. No, not never. But on this, at the same time with that, though, right? And granted, like, yeah, I didn't think it would look like this. I didn't think it would be as good as it's been. But we're still talking about an 8 seed.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and by the way, an 8 seed that has been awful on the road this year.
They got some questions. I mean, I think in the games that Steph has played, I think in the games that Steph has missed, they got a terrible record.
Yeah, but they did, yes.
You know what I mean? And usually when you're playing on a team whose fourth best player might be a two-way guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally, we're talking about a two-way guy. Hey, props to him for getting there and everything else, Bay Area kid, all that type of stuff. But he should not be the fourth best player on the team that has real playoff aspirations.
No.
You know what I mean? And if you're talking about playing for the past, the present, and the future, I ain't never seen a team ever be able to do that in the modern NBA.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. They tried to play for the future with Wiseman, and it's just clear that he was messing up their role. And it's not about him as a player. You know, he was just messing up their role. But that was their attempt to play for the future, right? Steph is clearly locked in to playing for the present, right? Like, you got, like, this is what the window is for him. But they doubled down on, they already had a 5-year run. That's what you're going to get out of a group of guys is 5 years. Then they doubled down on that. Brought Klay back. Injuries or no injuries, I don't know how good they would have been with him. They'd certainly be better than they are now. But then they, the Draymond Green contract that they are going to rue, except for the fact that I have no idea how terrible they would be this year if they did not have Draymond Green. Like, their whole thing is so jumbled and so confused. While they have Steph, who is not as good as he was 5 years ago and is playing less defense than he did at those points, and none of the advanced numbers support the idea that he hasn't lost it. He has lost something, right? He's still incredible at the things that he's incredible at, but he has still lost something. But I have my mind blown when I get out here and watch some of the things that he's doing and the numbers that he's putting up and where he's doing it. But I also, and they're beating good teams. They beat the Suns last night, for example. Now, they are much better against bad teams. Let's be clear about that. Like, they'll go out here and play a good team and lose by 15. But them bad teams, Steph cooking them all.
Well, the other thing, Steph is, I will say this, defensively, Steph is trying more.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's trying more, and he's a part of a unit that is fifth in the NBA. I'll give you that. My thing is, and this is why I wish we were best of five in the first round. I endorse best of seven, but in some situations I'm like, this series should be best of five. This would be so much better if it was best of five.
No, I'm all about best of five.
Steph in a short series.
I'm all about the short series. I think adds, if you're going to have this contrivance of the play-in tournament,
you better off having best in five being.
Yeah. Except that's less money, right? Like, they'll never go back to the option that is less money. But, I mean, the thing that happened was what made best of five compelling worked too well, and we started losing some people that they'd like to keep in the playoffs.
Yep.
And so it was best of seven it is.
We can't risk these one seeds getting dropped because they lost a game at the crib.
Right, right. But let me tell you something. That play-in, I don't want no parts of the Warriors.
Oh, one, wait, you telling me one game where this dude can go 5 of 20 or 15 for 20 and there is nothing that I can do about it?
Yeah. The reason why this Warriors model can only do so much for you in the playoffs, though, is he will give you a 5 for 20.
Absolutely.
The reason he'll give you a 5 for 20 is he's going to make the next shot. So he and I'm not saying this as a knock, right? But, like, Steph is missing. Okay, now I need to get these other guys involved. Nah. First of all, I want to keep these guys as uninvolved as possible. And number two, I'm going to make the next shot. Like that's just what it's going to be. Like, they're not – I don't think they can win a playoff series But the questions that I had, and they were, and remember when we talked about this before, and this is why I got so mad at people getting mad at us. The questions that I had before about him were not like an evaluation or like a referendum on his game.
Right.
It was like a legitimate curiosity about what is this going to look like, because this is a style of play that they're going to have that I haven't seen from him and that I'm not sure is the best way that you ultimately use him. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I was like, no, I'm just like, it's like, I'm not even sure how much this stuff matters. Like, I would say that over and over again, but nobody wanted to hear that part, right?
Right,
like
right,
nobody,
right,
nobody
right.
wanted to get there. I'm just like, yo, it's going to be really wild to see what it becomes with Steph Curry. And then, of course, people go too far. They're like, he looked like the MVP. Nah, we don't even, we're not even going to have the discussion about this because we're coming up on time. There's one man that's the MVP, and we didn't even get around to talking about him and talking about them. But there's one dude. But with Steph, it is just, I feel like he and Westbrook this year, I don't care what it turns into, man. It's been cool to watch.
It's been fun.
And that's okay.
And we don't have to look. He's had an MVP year, so to speak. It don't mean he actually got to win the MVP. Same thing for Chris Paul. Same thing for everybody else. It has been fun. And with Russ, there's this total mixed bag where whatever you think of Russ, you're probably right.
Right.
No matter what you think. And I had to write a column where I was trying to, I was balancing the left side and the right side of my brain, trying to figure out what side I sit on. And it's like, no, it's this guy is everything. This is the guy that you defend when people take it too far. But this is the guy that you got to say, hey, man, come on, Russ, you're doing too much. Steph is almost largely the same way. He is the greatest shooter of all time. I don't think there's any argument there. He is having one of the better unexpected offensive seasons that we could have ever expected. In a season where everybody's putting up video game numbers. Yeah. Nothing is on all Madden this year. Playing on the team that is probably, from a supporting cast standpoint, worse than the 07 Cavs, worse than the 01 76ers. Like, he is dragging this team to the playoffs. He is dragging this organization, kicking and screaming, to the playoffs. Because it looked clear to me early on, this ain't what they was trying to do. This ain't what they where they were trying to do.
I was hearing that they were worried that they were going to win like 20 games with Steph.
I mean, here's the thing. The James Harden system only works for James Harden because James Harden is a mountain of a man.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's a mountain of a man that can withstand the body contact, that can take it. And even though he absorbs it, he's a durable player. We didn't believe, or we weren't sure of Steph's durability for good reason.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just about could Steph carry these guys and make something of it. It was would Steph be around to carry these guys.
Right.
He's answered the question. They're getting into the playoffs.
Yep.
They're going to be there.
And then what's been impressive about Russell Westbrook, and it's interesting because we're at this place now where these guys are playing longer and longer, right? They're playing more, like, deeper into their careers. And we got something from Chris Paul last year that we're kind of getting from him this year, we really haven't seen, which is like Hall of Fame players, like guys we know we're going to the Hall of Fame. And Westbrook is not at his peak, but Westbrook's still good. But guys we knew were going to the Hall of Fame playing for bad teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still giving it. Like, I have so much respect for the way that Russell's handled this season on a team that he knew was not going to be good. And he's still out here treating it like he has every other year. Like, I was the same thing with Chris Paul last year. Like, watching these guys who were taking on these roles at this place where, you know, I want to ring. He's like, nah, I'm on this team. And since I'm on this team, I'm going to play for this team and give this team what it needs. And that, like, it will be fun, probably better for us all to watch Russ for the rest of his career and have him be on teams that aren't that good, because then we can just enjoy it.
Because if you have higher if Russ is on a better team this year, if let's say he's on Boston, right? If Russ is on Boston, it looks totally different. The expectations are so much more. Oh, wait, but Russ, you're on a team that hasn't won 50 games since Michael Jackson put out Off the Wall, didn't make a conference finals with John Wall, and we generally look at as team can't get right. This is the and it's a team coached by Scott Brooks.
Yeah.
This is the perfect team for you. Because while the triple-double numbers look gaudy, Russ had 8 in his first 6 seasons when Russ was a better athlete and a better player. He's gotten all of these largely
in the last 5 years.
In the last 5 years when we sort of valued this differently. So Russ has something to play for. in addition to Russ being a dude who plays generally harder than most guys on any other team, and he's dragged this team along. Like, he, whether he understood the lineage of the Washington basketball team or not, he said, I'm looking around this locker room, and he coming back from that quad and being fully healthy, I think, played a lot into it. But he looked around and saw the Thomas Bryants of the world, the Rui Hachimuras of the world, and said, all right, I'm going to have to teach these guys how to play hard by me playing hard, by me going forward. And yeah, some guys, to be honest with you, how many guys will be packing that in and saying, you know what, I'm straight?
And he didn't.
And he didn't. And all he the credit. Didn't.
He
all
didn't. The credit. All right. That is my man, Vinny Goodwill. Check him out at Yahoo Sports covering the NBA. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. Tony Colati, who's handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.